Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, we've seen it coming for decades, but new data from the Census Bureau makes it official. The face of America is changing. For a country founded by Europeans and at one time economically supported through African slave labor, it's hard to believe that today being white no longer makes you a member of the majority. And the report from the good people at the census means we can't discuss this anymore as a future event or wax philosophical about what it might be like when Caucasians are no longer the majority as of last year. Minorities account for just over half of all births in the United States. That's a milestone, a marker for our changing racial, political, and economic dynamics. But before we can really understand how this data might change our future, it's important to actually understand the complexities of America's racial past. And our next guests focus on the untold parts of that history. Richard Thomas is Professor Emeritus of History at Michigan State University, speaking today as I am in Boston at the National Race Amity Conference. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
And also with us is William Smith, and he is, of course, the driving force behind the conference. Nice to see you as well.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So, Richard, part of your message is that there are some unsung white heroes of the civil rights movement and that we're missing out on the real significance of civil rights if we don't tell their stories as well. Why is that?
Well, one of the reasons, and this really goes back to the colonial period, but one of the reasons why we're missing out on a very important part of the history is that most of us tend to focus on racial conflict and racism. Of course, that's very important. But we have to also understand the role that whites and blacks have played in the interracial struggle for racial justice and harmony. And that's a parallel history to racism. It complements the history of racism. But it's particularly important because it gives us sort of a perspective on how to go about dealing with racism in the future.
How do you get past, though, and there are African Americans who get upset if you start talking about white heroes and civil rights? How do you get past this feeling that when you're talking about the search for equality and justice for African Americans, mm-hmm. that you should be focusing on African Americans?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, for example, when you look at the civil rights movement, or even when you go back to the abolitionist movement, you know, you can't talk about Harriet Tubman without talking about Thomas Garrett. They were part of sort of a organic whole. You know, so she was obviously very important in the struggle, but he was also very important in supporting her and providing, you know, refuge for the escaped slaves. And so these two trends are not mutually exclusive. They complement one another. And whereas we know a lot about the history of racism, we don't know enough about that other piece, and that is the cooperation between blacks and whites in developing this whole movement for racial justice.
And yet, Smitty, for many people who are working on racial amity, as you are today, often it's about letting this history go, about remembering it and then forgetting it, right?
Yeah, it is. But see, one of the key things that we're trying to do here is really we hope to adjust the lens through which we view American racial history. And that adjustment is that essentially the picture is incomplete, and that is a part of the thing that's creating and aggravating the divide, that people don't feel connected in any way. And, for example, the imagery of, as you started referencing the civil rights movement, is that it was exclusively a black domain. And certainly the moral compass was set and the articulation by Dr. King was incredible. But without key white allies, Abraham Joshua Heschel, for example, that movement could not have spread with the breadth that it did or attracted the interest of a lot of people in the Euro community toward the movement. So this is an attempt to really adjust this lens so that our children, I mean, we've made tremendous effort to present and include various minorities African-Americans, Latinas, Native Americans, and the job isn't done, but to include them in our curriculum, in the presentation, to tell kids these are images of great heroes, of moral leaders. But the picture is incomplete because we don't really show the picture of the people who walked arm in arm with them, so that boys and girls in America's classrooms can see that there's really an interracial cooperation that's at the heart of this progress that we all experience, and that we can see it differently.
So that's William Smith, founding and executive director of the National Race Amity Conference, going on in Boston right now. And also with us is Richard Thomas, who is a professor emeritus of history at Michigan State University. So when we talk about curriculum, you've seen this yourself. When you're discussing the history of the civil rights movement, sometimes leaving whites completely out of that picture makes white students struggle to really grapple with the significance of the history, right?
You're absolutely right. In fact, one of the things, the lessons that I learned as a, you know, teaching, you know, race relations for 38 years at Michigan State, and that was white students need heroes as well and heroines as well, you see. And black students need to know that there were whites who were involved in the civil rights movement, and even, you know, 100 years earlier in the abolitionist movement. And that helps them to get a perspective on just how important this tradition is.
Okay, but if we're going to bring the white, start singing the stories of the white heroes in the civil rights movement, that means we have to finally start including the history of African Americans when we talk about things that aren't supposedly traditional black history, right?
Correct.
I mean, you can't talk about Thomas Edison without talking about the African-American who invented the filament and the light bulb.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. It's got to be a two-way street.
So, but the idea is to, again, give this new lens that we see that this is really the progress that we experience has been multiracial and through amity, through friendships, because all of these occurrences were based on close personal friendships.
That's William Smith, founding executive director of the Race Amity Conference, at which I'm speaking today, along with Richard Thomas, professor emeritus of history at Michigan State University. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.